with my show. I don't do a whole like, and here we go. We got Gagan, you know, Tim Cena, even though I'm doing it right now, but I don't, that's just not the way I roll. And I like talking like how normal people would talk in a conversation at a bar or at a restaurant. You know what I mean?
I feel
and,
that, yeah.
And yeah, is this show sponsored by, you know, or should I say influenced by a touch of nicotine? Sure.
Maybe.
Sure it is.
I understand that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you have a story about your usage?
It was my first time. It was, I'll drink this in a second. I was watching Game 7, Timberwolves versus Nuggets. I was like, not courtside per se, but close enough, right? And I took two of the 6 milligrams because they're like, take it. You know, I was like, whatever, I'm new to this. I was like, I'm not a, you know, oh, I got this, whatever.
Yeah, you're a big
Pop
guy.
Pop these bad boys in, dude, 5 minutes max. I was like, let me take them out. And the first time you take it, you just feel this right
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, you got the bubble gut.
Not only did I get the bubble gut, I was like, I got to go.
Yeah,
I was,
you got white. You turned white.
I turned white, and then it's just in the bathroom having a...
Throwing up.
Having a blast.
Yeah, baby. See,
hey,
now I come from a farm community. Well, Hilton High School, my farmer friends, that's what they all threw in gigantic chews. So we started chewing at a real, real disgustingly young age. And... But it was okay because they were farmers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That was part of their culture. Was chew, and you'll never forget your first cherry skull chew. Mmm, delicious. Mm. But no, I'm off the cheese now. But then once I heard Peter Attia, some health influencer was like, a little bit of nicotine is really good. Is a nootropic.
Yeah,
it does help guide my thoughts a little bit. I also do like, actually, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about my stack. You got a good stack you want to talk about with your dietary stack? Do you have like, here, I do these vitamins. I'll say these. So Alpha Brain is really good. I get the black label.
Yeah.
It's really helpful for when I'm in the zone, when I'm either prospecting or I'm dialing or those are usually the two things I'm using it for really is prospecting and dialing. And then I'll throw in a little touch of nicotine and I like, and creatine. So, you know, 5 to 10 milligrams of creatine. I'm kind of playing with that, seeing what that's like. I am getting chubbier, if you like, with creatine.
I think it's a placebo.
You think that's what, creatine's a placebo?
No, I think you getting chubbier is a placebo.
You think that's just me just getting chubby? Not, it doesn't have anything to do with creatine.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's so researched too, you know?
No, I know. You do get a little bit. You do get a little bloated, though.
Yeah,
you can.
Wild,
you can. Anywho, what about you?
Dude, you know how they say drinking a glass of red wine is good for your health?
Sure.
So I'm an alcoholic, bro.
That's your drink of choice, red wine?
I love wine.
Yeah.
I'm pretty simple, too. You know what cordyceps are? Like the shrooms?
Yes. Yep.
So I'll pop one of those in the morning. I'll have like 3 to 4 cups of coffee, and then I'll just be locked in.
You'll be good.
My thing is I need a quiet, like I has to be a dark room and there can't be any doors. Like I can't talk to you and be focused on the activity. Cause then I'm like fucking multitasking.
Yeah. And multitasking like sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to do it at times, but truly it's not worth it. Like if you really want to just focus in, cause I try to get 3 hours of like that deep work
prospecting, right?
That prospecting and calling, or, you know, maybe I'm just sifting through and trying to find the right property to call or for the right owner to call, or, you know, one of our new endeavors is our Suplex Construction. So we're doing a lot of third party construction for office, retail, medical space. And we're really liking that world. Yeah. So, you know, that's a big new driver for our company. Anyway, enough about me. Although, what do you think about me? Enough about me. What are your thoughts about me?
I like that.
That was funny. Shout out to Terry Shannon. He told me a funny story about a broker he was working with. He goes, that's the type of guy who says, well, enough about me. What do you think about me?
I like that, dude.
All right. I got Gagan here. He's an absolute stud. 22 years old. Did you come here at 16? Like, you know, I really think there is a unfair advantage to being an immigrant in this country.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a lot of unfair disadvantages. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
But for those that are coming here and they just have a work ethic and they're willing to do stuff and try stuff.
Yeah.
Like you tried some drop shipping, you tried some, you know, multi-level marketing, you tried all these different things. Yeah. You found real estate. But before we get into that, don't you agree that being an immigrant and seeing your crew or the people that you've came here with or people that you know that are immigrants, their work ethic and their drive is way higher than just your average Joe here in America?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like juxtapositionary in the sense of we work really hard, but we take less risks, right? So meaning that my dad works a 9-to-5. He's been working the same job for the last 15 years or so. And I told him, hey, like, this is what I'm doing as an entrepreneur. And I was like, hey, this is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, you shouldn't do that. Just go work a 9-to-5. Mm. So last month I made about $27,000. And I was like, yo, look, I made 27 grand. He goes, oh, you know what? Just put this in the Roth. And I'm like, no, bro, I'm going to go invest in this myself. I'm going to go do mindset things. You know, so he's like, why would you do that? So they work really hard, but they work really hard towards the activities that they know have a guaranteed return. So a 9-to-5, for instance.
Sure.
I think I'm blessed enough where, yeah, I was born in Nepal. Came from Nepal when I was 5 years old, so my accent really isn't there, although I can bring it out if I want to. That was a joke, dude. You're supposed to laugh.
Oh, bring it out.
Put it in drum
rolls, bring it out.
But I also went to McQuaid, and I was privileged enough that a lot of the scholarships and financial aid paid for it, and most of the people in McQuaid are, I would say, the upper echelon of wealth,
sure,
especially in Rochester. So I was able to kind of osmosisly get that, you know, like, oh, this guy's an entrepreneur, this guy did that, so combine the entrepreneur spirit with the fact that my parents work really hard and I want to give them this amazing life. I think that's kind of how, you know, I molded myself into me.
Yeah, I think some of that even is just your parents don't want you to take risks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even though, although that's where the magic happens, yeah, right? When we do that. But at the same time, yeah, you know, if I'm looking at my son and I'm saying it's, you can see where you go, oh, I don't want you to get hurt.
Yeah,
I don't want you to feel the feelings that I've had to feel to get to the place I've, you know, to get here. But that's, again, how you become the most optimized, or that's to get to your best self is to really go through those trials and tribulations. So yeah, you've been crushing it. You were just at a speaking engagement, you were telling me.
Yeah. So I'm, you can look this up, the Columbus Report. I'm the most famous man in the city I don't even live in, right? So that got me a ton of opportunities, dude. I had lunch with a billionaire. I got invited to do a fund with guys that are developing like $600 million properties and developments, joining them as a JV partner. And all of that happened because I built out media. And the reason that I was able to speak is because I built out this media, and agents were like, hey, how specifically are you doing this? Like, could you teach us? And I was like, sure. I did Columbus because my entire family lives there. We're going to be moving there in the next year or so. And I spoke there about, here's how you specifically build media with, you know, obviously a purpose of giving value, but also saying, hey, let's attract each other to the company and then we can work together on these ventures.
Why Real?
I just think it's the best real estate company out there. I've been with a bunch of boutique companies, you know, the Double H's, the EXPs of the world. And I like Real for a few main reasons. Number one, the culture is just inherently different. You know, there's no silos. And I think for me, the biggest thing is I want to be in rooms with people that have sold the billion-dollar numbers, right? The people that are selling hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of homes and making millions of dollars. And Real, from a cultural perspective, because culture is cadence. It's what people are willing to do. And it's also what people are willing to do with each other because another person is doing the same thing, right? Bravery isn't not being scared. It's doing the thing even though you're scared. Culture isn't saying, I don't want to do these things. It's doing the things even though you don't want to do it and someone else is doing it. So everyone's willing to give, so that's super duper cool. And for me, it was also about joining the company at a younger age, right? So I took a risk and it's paid off dividends. Like, I have more stock than I can count. We have a partner named Karen Morbido. You probably know her. Shout out to Karen.
Yeah, she's great.
She's got stocks in the six figures now. Kem Kadaria, he's another one of our venture partners. He's got tons of stock. He's brought over 30 agents. And all of that comes from a position of, here's value. And here's an opportunity that hasn't existed in our market. So we just went and we found an offer that's so good, so irresistible that people are coming to us left and right.
No, it's great. I mean, if you make an offer that's so good that it would make you look dumb to not do
Mosey, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It becomes really easy to sell it. Yeah, you know, there's a world where I'd like to talk to you about that. I know they don't do any commercial brokerages, but maybe they should. Or maybe they shouldn't. Who knows? Maybe they're like, nah, we like our thing.
Got a commercial division.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
So that's cool. And yeah, let's go right into, I know you love adding value. You know, what are agents missing?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is brand, right? It's recognition. And I think Real 3D Media, shout out to Real 3D Media, they're doing a great job of helping agents show off the homes, show off who they are. But in today's day and age, and let's be honest, like cold caller, those robocaller blockers, they're more prevalent, right? People are more likely to get a higher volume of intent, meaning that you've got a wholesaler here, you've got someone looking to sell or finance here, you've got someone looking to list the house here, you've got someone looking to buy it here, you've got someone looking to flip it here, right? So the tons of just things that happen. And the difference in mindset and the difference in approach is, hey, why don't I come to you versus why don't I lead you to me? And I think the biggest thing is because eventually I will get into a position where I'm purchasing properties, and I've A/B tested this on the Instagram where I've said, listen, this is my personal brand. You know who I am. I'm looking for a 40 unit. Every single time I've said that, Marty, I've had one person raise their hand and say, hey, I'd be willing to sell this to you. Every single time. So I think we have this idea of let's go do these activities that are all bottom of funnel. But my thought processes are, let me build the top and let the top build the bottom.
Yeah, I agree. I think people, when they see you a few times, you start to get some know, like, and trust elements to you. And obviously it's why I'm investing in doing this myself, because I do it a couple of different reasons. I think one of them is I really just like to, this is a creative outlet. I like to talk to people, right? You know, and you don't really necessarily always get to do that when you're running due diligence on a, you know, industrial property. Yeah. And so I like doing this stuff, and I get to learn from people that come here, and it is a great way to, you know, when you can add value, like I hope that we can add value together, right?
Absolutely.
There is a way where you're not, you don't feel like it's an uncomfortable ask to ask you for something. And, and same with me when you're adding value. So, you know, being able to get people who I like that are inspiring to me in different aspects, it's great, because then I can really get to, and then you get to know them on a personal level, not just on a business level. So that's always nice. So what was the aha moment when you were using social media? Like, what was that first initial holy shit?
Yeah, dude. So there's been a lot of micro holy shits, right? And I've actually spoke with the person that I went to dinner with a little while back. I went to lunch and dinner with someone that owns, I think, close to $1 billion in assets at this point. And he's like, listen, I want to be your go-to developer. And I was like, dude, hell yeah. So the most important thing that we spoke about was opportunity cost of doing this thing and that thing with social media. And I can confidently say I've gotten probably close to 50 opportunities, and three of them are seven-figure opportunities. Like, legitimately opportunities that if I put sweat equity and maybe the brand equity into it as well, I can say this will garner me $1 million within the next 5 years. So that's been the biggest thing for me. But combining with that, I also, local traction, right? The people that you're meeting maybe in a subway, or you're meeting in a gas station, you're meeting in a restaurant, like, dude, I know you. And keep up the good work. Because fame is the most effective business model. Like, that's the one major thing that agents are missing. Fame is the most effective business model. It is. If Brad Pitt came in here and said, Marty, I want to teach you how to act, you wouldn't care how much he's going to charge you. You just wouldn't. So that's why we got to get famous. And local brand and local presences are so important. So I think for me, the biggest thing has been, I know you, I don't know where I know you from. Because all conversion happens in conversation. Social media's job is to create the conversation. Your job is to convert.
Yeah, I agree. It certainly helps close the deal a little simpler if they've already seen you a few times, and they've, like I said, they know you a bit and they like you a little bit. But what can an agent do today? Like, what's something that whether they've been in the business for 30 plus years and they haven't been really very effective on social media, or they just don't know what they're doing, and what can a 22-year-old do today to help with their brand?
Yeah. I mean, I know content nowadays isn't just necessarily, it's not an added, right? It's a necessity. And I say that very abruptly, because it's true. Like, a lot of people nowadays are still thinking that I can go kiss babies and shake hands. And you can, you absolutely can. But I would rather have it that not just one person in my meeting, but I can meet many. And that's the beautification aspect of content, right? That's why when you're posting things and you're getting multi-million views, you're reaching millions of people, right? My YouTube channel got, I think, 500 watch hours in the last week. Dude, there's not 500 hours in the week.
Yeah.
That means that the content itself is being absorbed by so many different parties that they're watching you. So I think the biggest thing that you can figure out is figure out your plus. And I think a lot of agents have this notion where it's, hey, I'm going to get my real estate license and real estate's going to be my center of the universe. That's not how that works. It's real estate plus something, right? So for me, it's working out. For you, maybe it might be, you know, mountain biking. Maybe it's playing chess. Maybe it's being a dog mom. Whatever it is, it's that plus thing. That's where you go and that's where you make yourself really well known. Because everyone needs to buy a house based off the circumstances of their life. But people want to do things with people that they like, and they like you because you're doing the things that they want to do.
Yeah. All right. So let me put you on the spot. What can I do?
Okay. Let me ask you a few things. What do you enjoy in terms of hobbies?
I like working out.
Okay.
I like going to dinner.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. I like eating and I like going to work out.
Dude, I mean, they combine, right?
No, that's awesome. I have to do both.
So like what I would do is I would actually create some kind of content that surrounds the theme of purchasing properties and how that correlates with working out. So for example, you can say some things like, listen, if you're going to the gym and you're trying to purchase a property, then this video is for you, because working out is very similar to actually buying a house in three ways. Number one, you don't want to hit legs, but you gotta get pre-approved, right? That's a testosterone of the whole things. Number two is finding the right neighborhoods and finding the right gym. The atmosphere is important, and just in the same way, the aura of the areas, it's going to make or break your purchase. And number three is figuring out the school district. That's going to be hitting the biceps, hitting the triceps, those mundane things, things that you got to think about, not just for yourself, for the kids. My name is Marty, and this Thursday at 6, I'm actually going live where we talk about the entire process, and I break down our 8-3 guide where we help hundreds of clients purchase a property. If you want that, comment the word guide, and I'll send it over to you.
There you go. That was good.
Yeah, something like that.
That was really good. I know, right off the top of your head. I think that's the part where I don't love that part.
Yeah.
I do. I don't love that part, but I know it's important because I know that's how people get their information is they want something that's like that and they can snack on that and then they can eat the large meal on the 3-hour or 2-hour podcast type of thing.
Yeah. And you can, it very simply, so from a content perspective, there's only three things that you really have to think about is number one, the visual hook. Number two is the audio hook. And number three is the imagery. Right? So it's the captions and it's the image behind everything. So when you're making something, you want to have generally a bold text in front of everything, and you want to have it where you're positioning yourself right in the middle of the frame because you're taking up spot. Mm. Right now, the biggest thing that I like to say is you're taking timeshare. The more timeshare that you can take, the more actual brand and time on market you have. Because in today's day and age, it's not about, you know, it's not about seconds of value. It's about values of second, values per second.
Sure.
Because there's just so much content to absorb.
There is. I'm almost thinking sometimes that I might be putting out too much content.
Never. That doesn't exist. Okay. Like, there's no such thing as quality in content. It's just quantity. And I think a lot of times I hear, because I coach a lot of people on creating content and building a personal brand, and they say, oh, am I posting too much? Or I want to focus on quality. Quality doesn't exist. Quality is a man-made term. Right? What I think is good, you're not going to think is good.
Sure, that's fair.
Who I think is hot, you're going to find her unattractive, right? So in the same notion, we just allow the audience to tell us what's good and what's not. And that comes purely from a volume perspective. We take the volume and we reverse engineer what specifically is working and why. And then we take those specific itty bitty notions and say, I'm going to apply this notion to this video. This hook worked really good where I asked a question. Let me ask a question here. This worked really well because I had this image here. Let me add this here. So you keep taking and dissecting that piece of content that performed really well, and you keep making more around that.
Mm. So back to the what can an agent or an investor do who wants to buy their first deal, and or they've bought many and now they're looking at potentially raising funds.
Yeah.
Is it start with one, you know, hey, just work out on, you know, just do a, you know, Facebook, like don't worry about LinkedIn and Twitter and all these other things, because then you get burnout. Just do one a lot. Or what would you say to that person?
I would say do it on the social media channel where you're positioning yourself the most often, meaning that I use Instagram a lot because I love reels, right? I just scroll through reels. I'm doom scrolling all the time. So I can post on Instagram a lot easier versus Facebook. I don't use it really as often. Mm. So whatever social media you're using, use that the most. And also remember, like, there's two components of social media, which is number one, media, and that's fine, but there's also social, right? You gotta be human, dude. Like, if your dog died, honestly, if you feel comfortable, like, I would talk about that. Like, bye-bye, Rover. Like, you're dead, you know? If you did something that was really impactful in your life, I would talk about that, because people want to purchase with you, but they also want to know who you are. Mm. So from a content perspective, I would say maybe 85% is humanitarian, 15% is real estate, because they're not going to forget you, dude. So if I was you, I would say something along the lines of, like, you know, our conversation of creatine, right? Maybe you are getting a little chubby, and I don't know this, but maybe you're feeling insecure about it, right? Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can talk about that. Like, listen, work's been so difficult that this is the challenges that I'm facing. If anyone else is going through this as well, let me know. Dude, there's 8 billion people. Someone's going through it with you. Yeah. Like, there's no such thing as an original thought.
What if you don't want to know?
Huh?
What if you don't want to know?
Don't want to know what?
What if you don't want to ask them the questions?
In terms of?
What if you don't want to be social on social media? What if, like, hey, I'm doing this kind of for me. Yeah. I like doing this. And if you kind of... if you get it, great. And if you don't, because, you know, I like the putting out content. Yeah. I think I do a really poor job at, you know, responding to comments or trying to engage in the audience. Like, I just don't love that.
Then offset it.
Yeah.
Like, with just what? 80-20 rule. Hire VA. Onlinejobs.ph. Works really well. I need a graphics designer. Works really well on Facebook groups. Hire someone out to do the activities that you don't enjoy
doing. But doesn't it seem fake then?
Not really.
No.
Why? Just, hey, listen, Marty told me to reach out to you. I heard about what's happening in your personal life. I hope you're doing really well. People are going to say, holy crap, Marty actually went out of his way to tell someone, his assistant, to reach out to me. Mm. That feels really good.
I'm sold.
Right?
Yep.
So, like,
that's fair.
I do, so I'll give you a trick, dude. I do birthday videos the week. The Monday. So if your birthday's on a Wednesday, you're getting it from me on a Monday. You probably got it. My assistant has one that's already pre-made where it's, hey, listen, it's going on here. I heard it's your birthday coming up this week. Have a great happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. I know I can't sing. Today's your day. Have a great day. Right? I don't say names. I don't say genders.
Sure.
And then my assistant just sends that out every Monday. And she's like, oh my God, that's awesome. Because the person who's expecting these on Wednesday because their inbox is going to be flooded gets it on a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
so I think that's a good move.
It's just about engineering it in a way in which you actually do the activity, even if you don't enjoy doing the activity.
Okay, all right, that's fair, and I think that's, yeah, that's what, you know, that's what we're here for is like, hey, whatever I think is a block is actually not. It's just made up in your head.
Because maybe like, and I'm going to challenge you here, I'm playing devil's advocate, but maybe the social connection aspect of it, because I get DMs all the time where it's like, dude, I feel like I know you already. Like, I know about your sister, I know about your mom, I know about all the things that you're going through. Maybe that's the one connection that you're gonna make where you're gonna build that $100 million portfolio. The guy's like, hey, listen, Marty, I get what you're going through. I actually went through the exact same situation. Now I'm moving to Florida. I've got $40 million for the homes to sell.
Sure, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You don't know what's going to connect with that person.
Yeah.
And it's typically not, it's probably not just the content I'm putting out. Dude, or I would have had these conversations.
Because most people can find their houses on Zillow.
Yeah.
But they can't find their realtors on Zillow. Hmm. Right. Well, they can, but they can't find the person that they want to work with.
Sure. Because they have a lot of choices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
They have a lot of choices. So, yeah. So that's a good thing is just try to do that one plus. Like, you're an agent.
Plus.
But what's the other thing that you like? I mean, I think people could go crazy with that. I mean, there's so many people that have unique talents and unique interests. Mine are just completely, you know, we're always thinking, I don't have anything unique to offer. Right. Like, I'm just a regular guy. I like commercial real estate. Mm. We're buying commercial real estate. And oh, by the way, I do enjoy, I guess one of the weird things I like is, I'm really into wrestling, not WWF stuff, but I, really collegiate wrestling.
Yeah.
I follow it. I love it. I have my son watch it with me. It's like it's why our company is Suplex Properties. It's because I was a wrestler. My partner was a wrestler and, we both love it. But it's just it's just unique to us, right?
Yeah.
But there's other people that probably share in the love of wrestling.
Always.
Freestyle and folk style wrestling.
Dude, it's like we think we're like this idiosyncratic creature when we're really not. Mm. You know, like there's more people that are similar to us, and this is just from a human perspective, than I think we're more similar than we are different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think, because real estate, dude, it's a high ticket item. Like, it's not a low ticket item. You don't need to sell 5,000 houses, right? You need to sell 25 to have a good life. So it's high ticket, meaning you don't need to collaborate and have too many relationships, which is always a good thing. But even if there's 30, 40 people that share the same interest with you that you now have conversations with, I think that's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you'll have better relationships with those people because you have the same interests.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's great. And then you can kind of pick your own partners through that because you're like, well, I like this person because we, you know, eat at the same restaurants or we like the same interest, you know, that we like the same things.
People hate being sold to, but they love shopping with a friend.
Yeah. 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 I agree. I so much. In fact, I'm buying a car and I'm really just, I'm looking at Carvana because it's like the least amount of people involved. It's just me and then the algorithm. Yeah, I don't want to have to deal. And that's just because I just don't, it's just a whole freaking nightmare buying a car.
Is it? What are you buying?
I want an SUV.
Yeah.
I think I'm down to, and this is the problem, like the Kias, everyone is, I don't even know what the insurance looks like on stuff like that, but the Tellurides are super dope.
Yeah.
I like the Hyundai Palisade, but again, Hyundai, I don't know what's going on with them and what the insurance would be because those are getting stolen too. And then something in the Toyota range, like a 4Runner or something like that.
I just bought the Prologue. It's pretty cool.
What is it?
It's the Prologue.
What is it? It's an SUV?
It's an EV. Yeah, it's an SUV.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Who makes it?
Honda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Hondas look good. I haven't checked out any Hondas.
I'm debating between that and then the RAV4 Hybrid. I think the next car will probably be a hybrid.
RAV4s are dope. Yeah. They're just a little bit small.
Yeah.
For because you know with kids and everything you'd like to look the little extra. But yeah, if it was just me, definitely a RAV4. I loved it. I was test driving them. So what else you got going on? What's like what's something that people can, I think one of the things that people come on here and or when they're looking at what they can do to differentiate themselves on like a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a lot of people that are doing YouTube channels.
Just me.
Yeah, just you.
Yeah.
And not a lot of agents specifically. Well, why not?
It's hard, dude. And agents are lazy pieces of shit. It's like, you know, truth be told, right?
That's messed up.
It's true.
Are they?
Oh, my God.
Come on. They're not POSs.
1.2 million agents, 75% of them sold zero houses last year.
Mm.
The reason that you don't do YouTube channels is, number one, you have a fear of what people are going to say about you. And then number two, you're scared that you're not going to perform. Because everything always comes from a position of performance, right? If I said, listen, like, either you make a YouTube video or your kids are going to die, you're going to make a YouTube video.
Sure.
Right? But in the same sense, making a YouTube video in and of itself isn't much. But when you think about it, inherently, it's about providing value. It's about providing money and having tons of clients come to you so you can give your family the lifestyle that you want. Right? So that's how I position everything that I do. There's days that I don't want to make content. There's days that I don't want to hop on coaching calls. There's days that I don't want to do anything. But it's not about that day. It's about what's happening for the family that I have, providing for those immigrants that live with me.
Yeah.
In Rochester, and you can look this up, living in Rochester, New York, it's just me and Anthony Hamilton, shout out Anthony Hamilton, who actually make content here, right? All of the leads that I generate, I hand off to my team. I don't personally enjoy the fulfillment aspect of the business. So we've gotten in the last 2 months, I'd say anywhere close to about 10 leads. Obviously, the market here is very difficult, right? So in terms of pre-approved buyers, I'd say we're close to about 4 to 5 million with everything. And we are 3 to 4 people that are actively looking here and there. And that's all from making content. That's all from hey, listen, here's my top 5 favorite things about living in Rochester. Because that authenticity, dude, it's so important nowadays. Like everyone on social media flex their fake Rolexes. They flex their, you know, their Rolls Royce. And there's so much AI that's out there. People just want to know who you are as a person.
Yeah.
So whenever someone hits me up from YouTube, generally they're like, dude, I heard about your mom, her car accident. Like, is she okay? Hey, man, I know about your dad and I know about where he's working. That's awesome. Like some lady gave me a hug. Didn't know her.
Hmm.
You know? So it builds a relationship that catapults into transactions. Because we're not in the real estate business, dude. We're in the human resources business. And I think people forget that.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of times it's the human aspect that we can tend to lose, but at the same time, it is a people business, right? I mean, we're dealing with people every day, and I could go on that. But what? What do you think someone should start to do? Should they do a YouTube channel? Should they just or do a photo of themselves? I mean, what? Yeah. Again, you got to start from the beginning with a lot of these people because not everyone's doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest?
Yeah, so I can speak about it from my perspective. Just food for thought is I built a media channel to about 20,000 followers in the last 3 months, and I've garnered close to about 10 million views in Columbus, right? The Columbus Report. So what I say isn't necessarily just theory, it's practical applications that I'm doing there in Tampa. The biggest thing that you can do is talk about the total addressable market, or the TAM, and that's gonna be Rochester. It's going to be what specifically is happening in Rochester, maybe from a day-by-day event, a week-by-week, from concerts that are coming, events, things to do, big projects that are happening, the whole shebang. Because now you've addressed the entire marketplace. The middle of funnel that you move into is going to be Webster versus Pittsburgh, what's better for you? Where if you're looking for schools, if you're looking for lakefront property, what specifically you want. So now we are moving middle of funnel. And then bottom of funnel is going to be content that specifically surrounds the house. So work with Real 3D Media. They're going to do drone shots for you. They're going to show off your listings, things of that nature. So now if someone's moving through that, you know, that pillar, what happens is, let's say you and I are thinking about moving to Rochester, right? And the content comes, top three reasons to live in Rochester. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Let me look at this. This guy's cool. Next post. Oh, Webster versus Pittsburgh. Yeah, I want better schools. Okay, Pittsburgh's where I want to live. Cool. Wait a second. $600,000 house in Pittsburgh. Oh, this is a nice house. Mm. And at the entirety of the thing, the every single time, it's always one page. The Rochester Report, the Rochester Report, the Rochester Report. So at the end of the day, they're hitting you up and saying, dude, I've listened and I've seen all of your pieces of content. I want to work with you.
Yeah.
To circle back to what specifically they can do, I would, number one, tell your audience who you are and what you want. Because no one, if you don't tell people what specifically you want from them, they won't give it to you.
Yeah.
So the first piece of content that I would make is I would get a professional headshot and I would say, hey, my name is Marty. I purchase properties. I own Suplex. And this is specifically what I'm looking to do with all of my partners. If you think that we can do any ventures together, let's do it. And then moving forward, you start talking about who Marty is and forming and cultivating identity for yourself. Because, dude, people forget, we are our own niche. I think that's the most powerful thing.
What do you mean?
Like, we are our own niche, dude. So real estate, it's a service-based business, right? The product, people think it's selling houses. I disagree. I think the product is you. And you just happen to be selling houses. We have this big slogan in our company's headquarters where it's operationalized generosity. Right? Operationalized generosity. And what that means is, how can we systematically give so much away that people just want to indulge with us? How can we give so much free value away that it's like, what is going on? How can we make an offer so good for purchasers, for sellers, for investors, for agents, that it's like, these are the only guys that I can associate myself with? And we've made that offer so good that we're the most transited to real estate company in the entire Rochester market. In the last 2 years, we've lost zero agents in the Rochester market, right? And I think that's all about offers. So you are your own niche, right? What you enjoy doing, you mold that relationship with your audience. And most people forget that.
Mm.
Like, it's not about houses, dude. It's about you.
What about, like, let's go to a commercial agent. What are your thoughts on, like, how would a commercial agent separate themselves?
The exact same way. So let's say you're selling primarily commercial listings, right? And you want to focus on a specific niche or a specific avatar. I wouldn't talk about anything other than that avatar. So for example, what I'm doing is I just passed my real estate exam in Columbus, right? My entire thing, there's a place called Murfield Village. If you're into golfing, Murfield Village is where they hold a lot of the PGA tours. Those houses, 1.5, 1.6, $2 million. I'm like, bro, that's what I want to do. Yeah, I'm done showing 200,000 houses, you know?
Yep.
And it's also easier, Marty, to go from $2 million to $200,000, from $200,000 to $2 million. That's a whole separate podcast.
Yeah.
But my thought is, let me go here. So what does that look like from a operational perspective and a tangible perspective? That looks like me eating at Murfield Village, me driving at Murfield Village, me showing Murfield Village, me interacting with people from Murfield Village, me lead generating in Murfield Village. All of that happens. You cultivate an identity that says, this is the guy from Murfield Village. So that's what you want to do in commercial as well, right? Let's say you only want to find properties that are above $1 million as of today. Well, what does that look like? Okay, cool. I got to go find properties in Victor. Got it. I got to go talk about people that actually buy properties in Victor. Awesome. Where are these people at? Oh, this guy, he's at a car show. That's where I want to go.
Sure.
Right? You want to find people at their natural ground and then talk with them about the business. Because remember, it's real estate plus. So for you, if you want to go get maybe a $20 million investor, what does that look like? You go to a DoubleTree, right? You go to Char. You go somewhere where those people can actually eat at those locations, and then you build those relationships there.
I think that's really good. I think what that sounds like is work.
Yeah.
And people might just do that once or twice a lot of times.
That's why agents don't sell houses, dude. That's 75% of them didn't sell anything.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's just not being consistent
yeah.
with whatever one they choose, right? Because if you are, if you're consistent with whatever one it is, and that consistent might be 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. And Rochester is a slow turning market. You know, in other marketplaces, like I've given 2 leads off in Columbus, $500,000 pre-approved buyers. Both of them are already under contract, and it's been less than 72 hours.
Yeah.
Right? Rochester.
And it's probably closed by now. Rochester, it's going to take you 7 years.
It's going to take a while here, yeah. right? So the reason I bring that about is we're a slow turning market, but that's not to say that we've stopped turning. And it's just your job to cultivate those relationships and to cultivate those conversations, because if that's not what it's about, then you, what other option do you really have? That's kind of how I position a lot of the activities that I do. It's like, what other option do I
have? Like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah. Like yeah. I could go work a 9-to-5, but that would never happen, or I could die.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to die.
Or are you saying, what else am I going to do with my time other than put out some content? Because like, yeah. what are you really doing as, you know, I'm talking about myself as an investor
yeah.
or an agent. I mean, there's only, you know, one of the things that's tough for me is because I've had so much success with prospecting.
Yeah.
And cold calling. And I can really see the ROI immediately on that.
Yeah.
With something like this, I know there is a benefit, but I don't necessarily see the ROI right away. And I yeah. think that's one of the tougher things when you're putting out content is, did they come because of that? I mean, you got to ask the question, well, how'd you hear about me? Exactly. Right. You have to do that just so you can feel good about what you're doing. But this is an expensive endeavor. Mm. Just putting out your phone and doing a video is
very cheap.
Very cheap.
Because I think I'll push back with you on this too. It's not a matter of or, it's a matter of and. Right. It's not a matter of let me do
like prospect and video. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, agreed.
And the other thing that I oftentimes think about and I talk to my team about is the LTV, the lifetime value of the consumer and the customer, right? If you came in from a cold call, that's fine. But realistically, the chances that I keep following up with you after you close from a cold call perspective, maybe from an email marketing perspective, cold traffic perspective, it's going to be very limited, right? Because I need to keep going back to cold calling. If I stop cold calling today, I'm done. My leads are dead.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Versus using the formula that we're talking about and really branding yourself on social, it becomes a matter of, cool, we closed, but now you see me every single day on Facebook driving my Honda Civic with my kids. Honda yeah. Civics are too small for you, but.
Yeah, but like that's something that's evergreen because it's always exactly. there. Yeah, it stays there forever.
Yeah, I forget who said it. It was so good, dude. It was like, you just need 1,000 true fans, you know? And it's more difficult to do that with, and I love cold calling, by the way. Like, that's how I made my money. Like, I was homeless, and cold calling literally got me an apartment. Like, it saved my life, right? So I am all for cold calling. I'm now in the position where I only want to talk to people that want to talk to me.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's not cold calling.
You know?
Rarely will they ever want to talk to you, but no, and I'm with you. I think it's just, it's a mindset shift.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, hey, do this and this, and then you can... But you definitely need something that's going to stick around. And yeah, I don't disagree that the cold calling thing is transactional, because after they're done, they don't really remember you. You know, anybody that, because I'm always like, where are my referrals? You know, where are like the people saying, hey, Marty bought this house, you should yeah. call Marty. I've bought whatever, hundreds of houses.
Yeah.
And which I've either flipped or assigned or whatever, yeah. or have held. And we don't get a ton of referrals.
Yeah. Hermosi says there's 4 ways of generation, like lead generation, right? Cold outreach, warm outreach, content creation, and ads. And we've gone very, very heavy into SOI and social. So I'll give you an example. One of my buddies, his name is Kem Kadaria. I'm sure you're familiar with him. But he's currently right now not just projected, but he's gotten 1 listing per listing video on social.
That's great.
How insane is that? Right, he's posted 6 listing videos, and he's gotten a listing from every single post.
Like, so he's doing a video of a listing that he has listed,
yeah.
talking about the property, posts it, and then someone comments and then says, hey, I want your help.
From my house.
Yeah.
Like, how insane is that?
Why doesn't he just do that all day long?
That's all he's doing.
That's all he's doing, good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how it's such a cool concept, because I think all of these things, they mold together. Right, we talk about where specifically did you come from, so we can focus on the 80-20 rule. But realistically, the audience as a whole is multifaceted. Right, they're seeing you everywhere. Like, there's a reason that so many companies are building more data centers. Like they want to store cloud. Sure. The reason they want to store that is because if they're seeing you on this form of social, realistically, that data, maybe from YouTube that goes to Instagram, from Instagram that goes to YouTube, they're going to cross-pollinate. Because the entire job of a social engine is to keep you on that engine for as long as possible. So if you're seeing me on Instagram, realistically, you're going to see me on YouTube as well. Mm. And that's where we get most of the conversations. So our funnel for now is Instagram to the newsletter, newsletter to the live YouTube video to a CTA or a booking.
And that's to do media for them?
Yeah, so for us, for me specifically, it's been agent attraction, right? I love the location freedom of being able to attract an agent to my company and say, hey, listen, come here. I'll help you build out whatever you want to build out, and then I can go do this from Dubai or Thailand.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to Dubai, and then I'm going to Thailand, and then I'm going to Cali. I wouldn't necessarily be able to do that if I was just doing transactional real estate.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't be able to do that. So, all right, we got to wrap up. What are the two things that you want to talk about in regards to social media and real and what you can help out with, you know, an agent that might be in like a hybrid, not sure what they're going to do next?
Yeah. So what I can help out versus what you need are two very different things, right? So for us, one of the biggest things that we're doing is we're developing from a cultural perspective, a community that number one wants to work together with each other. And number two, that truly wants to develop. Right, we've turned down more individuals that have come to Real or to our specific office than we've let in, because I think culture is cadence, and cadence is really important, and one bad apple can ruin the entire thing. So for us, it's been a matter of, what do we like about you as a person, and do you like us as humans? Because if you don't, then everything else becomes a moot point. So the biggest things that we can do together is we're developing a media company that's going to help you launch ads, that's going to help you create these systems, that's going to help operationalize the virtual assistants for you, the whole done-for-you approach.
Yeah.
We're also developing an actual location. So in our office, we're going to be doing something similar to this, where we have podcast studios, where we have, you know, cameras, where we have this set up, and then you can just go ahead, take care of whatever you want to take care of, and our VAs will do that for you as well. So that's kind of what we're cultivating here. In terms of me personally, I'm building out multiple media facets so I can show that I can actually build out media facets, right? Hormozy says, take as long as you want to build out the cool shit and talk about the cool shit that you've built out. So me, I want to build out the Tampa report to 10K. I built out the Columbus report to 20K and say, hey, listen, this is what I can do, and this is how we can help you as a local service business. Because every local service business will make more money by getting known and getting famous.
Definitely. Gagan, that was great. Hey, last thing, where can someone go to get the best Nepalese food?
Oh, that's a good question. So Nepali food, I'd say there's a lot of really good places in Jefferson Road.
Like what?
I really, really like Thali of India.
Okay.
Even though they say they're Indian. They're really, really good.
That's in the Wynn Jeff Plaza, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right next to like Rick.
Okay, give me some. Yeah, what I'm looking for is like a buffet type thing where I go in and there's like 8, 10 yeah. different things, and they pop, 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 pop. So Thali India is one of my favorites.
Thali, you go there. I actually know the owner, so I'll connect you guys. And then there's another place called Namaste, which is actually on Jefferson Road. There's a bubble tea spot that just came to life. And the next building over, and this is how you know the food.
I want this shit that's like, it doesn't look really pretty on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
go.
I want.
That's okay. Where you go. You go to Namaste, because what they've got, dude, they've got barbershop, and then they've got a grocery store, and then they've got a buffet.
Nice. That's like, what I'm talking about. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then my favorite food.
What's that one called?
It's called Namaste.
Okay, Namaste.
Yeah. So, and then my favorite food is chatpate. I post that shit all the time.
What is it?
Chatpate.
Okay,
it's just fried rice, right?
Yeah.
So what you do is you go to Miller's Farm on Jefferson, on West Henrietta, Miller's Farm, and then there's a little, like, tiny little intersection there. You walk through that intersection, and then there's a whole grocery store in the back. And then the grocery store, you walk to the right-hand side, and all they do is sell that shit. It's the best, dude. It's so good. It's those little gems, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
It's great.
Yeah.
Gagan, I really enjoyed this. I think you gave a ton of value. I think if people are not posting, they should be posting today. And I think the key takeaway is the plus one. I think that was great.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care, guys. See you later. Bye-bye.